We'll just put that right over there. Is it okay if I preach down here on the floor? Yeah. Well, even if it's not, I'm going to anyway. How's that sound? Bottle of water, because everybody hates dry preaching, right? Okay, it's going to be a morning full of bad jokes, so just get ready for it, okay? My kids are both here, my son-in-law Dave, my wife Peggy. Turn around, wave, say hi, everybody. They're here this morning. They get fed up. Dad, don't talk about us when you preach. Don't talk about us. I'm like, they're my greatest sermon illustrations ever. My kids. Yeah, absolutely. Morning, church.
Morning.
Aren't you glad to be in church this morning?
Yes.
Better here than the best jailhouse in town, right? Come on. That's absolutely right. I love their worship time. Singing about how good God is. I don't know if it did it for anybody else, but my heart is just blessed. I just stop and start thinking about how good God is, and I'm just a blubbering mess. Because God is so good to us. Things we don't deserve, He gives us. Things we do deserve, He doesn't give us. He protects us and helps us. God's a wonderful Savior. He's a good, I love that song. He's a good, good Father. I imagine how much I love my kids, and the thing that happens in me when my children love me back, how much more the heart of God. When His kids take a moment to just stop and say, God, today I choose. My choice. I choose to love you. In the beginning, when God created man, put him in the garden, I love the imagery. It says in the cool of the evening, God would come down and walk with Adam and Eve, and they would walk and talk. That was God's heart. That's all he wanted, was his creation to stop and spend a little time with him and just say, God, today I choose to just spend time with you. Sometimes we make it so orchestrated and we try to make it so complicated and difficult, and it really isn't. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, today I just choose to spend time with you. And God loves that every single day, not just on Sunday morning. So driving in your car, sitting in your house, whatever, every morning, every afternoon, every evening, just take that moment and say, God, I choose to love you today. And his heart is blessed. And then when a father's heart is blessed, what does the father do? He gives. He can't help it. He just loves. He just starts pouring out. I mean, my kids come running up to me and uninvited, they'll just climb up my lap, arms around my neck, squeeze my, Daddy, I love you. And it was like, here, baby, you can have my car. I just love you too. That's a father's heart. You just want to give. Isn't it great? It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about this morning. I just love Jesus. And I'm glad to be in Sanctuary Church here in Vacaville with you this morning. Pastor Scott is an old friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years. We've traveled the world together. And I was really happy when he found Heather. I was a little sorry for Heather, but I was happy for Scott that he finally, no, I'm just teasing. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. As we were driving in this morning, my wife said something about you know, the beginning of the new year, you know, sermons should be about something, you know, like Simeon and you know, the expectation of what God is going to do. And I kind of laughed. I said, oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32. I'll read this passage of Scripture, then we're going to go back and kind of walk through it together. I want you to grab a hold of this at the very beginning. God is a God of hope. He's a God of hope. Now, as we sat here and we're worshiping and thinking how good God is and knowing where my mind was going in our message this morning, I was reminded of sometimes the things we hope for don't always come in the time or maybe even the form and fashion that we would like them to come. But God always accomplishes his purpose in his way in the exact right time. He's never early and he's never late. We may think he's late. We're like, okay, Lord, anytime, this would be a great day. Lord, this would be a great day. He's always perfect. He knows exactly what we need and the absolute best time for it. And so as I was thinking that, I went just in my mind, I was running down through Hebrews 11, the roll call of faith, they call it. And if you go all the way through the book of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you'll see all the people of faith down through the scriptures that it talks about. And it ends in verse 39, said most of them didn't receive yet what God had promised. But it came. Maybe not in their lifetime, but in the lifetime of their children and their children's children and all the way down to you and I where we stand today, we stand upon the shoulders of those great men and women of God, those great men and women of faith. Where I stand today as a preacher of the gospel, I stand upon the shoulders of my father and my grandfather who went before me in this. I'm better today because of their sacrifice and what they did and their hope and their belief and their faith in God that is then translated into me that we continue and we push on to the next generation. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 2 says, verse 25, "Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel.'" Father, we thank you for your word this morning. There is no substitute for your word, Father. Everything we need, you said, for life and godliness is tied up in the pages of the Bible, and we're eternally grateful for that. And so we ask you this morning, Lord, would you open our hearts? Would you open our ears? Would you give us minds to receive? Would you give us ears to hear? Would you prepare our hearts? Holy Spirit, we give you permission this morning to mess with our lives. Do what needs to be done that we might conform to the will of God today. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hope is born. Jesus came in. I love the Christmas season because the entire world, whether they believe it or not, the entire world turns to and acknowledges today's the day the Savior was born. It's all over. Every country, I've been all over the world, and every country I've ever been to, they all in some form or fashion celebrate Christmas because they recognize on this day, the very calendar that we live by acknowledges that when Jesus came, one era ended and another one began, before Christ and after. The whole world turns to and recognizes that Jesus is a significant element in this world and that God sent him. Now, they may not understand it. That's our job. He said, go and preach the gospel so that they'll understand and know. And the best way to preach the gospel is to live the values and precepts of Jesus. Live the way that he lived. Do the things that he did. When he was challenged by the Pharisees, Jesus was challenged and they said, "Tell us, O great teacher, what's the greatest law in all of God's word? What's the greatest commandment?" Now, Jesus knew their hearts. He knew where it was going. So he stopped and said, hang on a second. It's these two. Number one, love God. So where it begins. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength. Everything within you, love God. Number two, love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn and look at your neighbor. Go ahead, turn and look at him. Say, God told me to love you. And I'm really working on it today. I may not be there yet, but I'm working on it. Okay? Love God, love each other. He said everything else hinges on those two things. Hope is born. Jesus has come, the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. The man Simeon in this story, several things are spoken about him that I find amazing. When the Word of God calls you righteous and devout, that's a significant statement about who you are. Righteous meaning before God and man, approved by God as a righteous man, discharging faithfully his duty to man. He was a righteous man. He knew the law. He was a Pharisee. He lived in the temple, spent all of his time there. He knew what the Word of God said, and he lived according to it. Now, I'm grateful this morning that we have been set free from the law. Over 600 rules and regulations in the Old Testament with a Mosaic law that this is how you have to live. Jesus told the Pharisees, you've tied burdens upon men's backs that they're unable to carry. Jesus came to fulfill the law and to set us free from it. Aren't you glad? Amen. That we don't have to sacrifice, we don't have to do all the rules and regulations. All we have to do is walk into church like this on a Sunday morning and just love him. And he says, that's what I'm looking for. That's what it's all about. But Simeon was a righteous man. He did everything that the law required. The Bible says about him that he was devout. That means a religious or pious person. That means every element within the structure of the law he was obedient to. He didn't skip anything. He was a righteous and devout man. He was of great note in Jerusalem. He was the son of Hillel. He succeeded his father Hillel as president of the college, which was founded by his father and of the great Sanhedrin. He was an important dude. He was a preacher's preacher. He was a priest's priest. He was kind of the upper echelon, and he lived within the framework of this hope that the Messiah was coming, because that's what the Word of God had declared. You read through the Old Testament, and you'll see prophecy after prophecy after prophecy about the Messiah's coming, and he knew this was going to happen. Now, the Lord had made a promise to him and said, you won't die before you see the consolation of Israel. This is a dangerous avenue. I don't have time a lot to talk about it, but I just want to touch a little bit on this here. When we feel that God has spoken to us, you have to be so clear and so understanding and so in tune to make sure that what you say, if you say, thus saith the Lord, it better be, thus saith the Lord. You can't say, well, God told me this, and then move off and live contrary to that. You with me? If God says live this way, that's why the Apostle Paul says, as God wills, I'll come to you. You with me? As God wills. If the Lord makes a way, I'll make this happen. You've got to be very careful in what you say God said to you. Because God's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he a man that he should change his mind. We change our mind 7 times before we get out of bed on Sunday morning. Right? What do we have for breakfast? Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops. No, I should eat healthy today. I should oat bran. No, Lucky Charms. 7 times. We change everything over and over and over. If God speaks to you, you have to know that you know that you know that God has spoken to you. And the only way to prove that, the only way to test that, is knowing what God's Word says and spending time in His Word, because God will never, ever, ever violate His Word. Test it by the Scriptures. Test it, make sure, test it, approve, God says. Make sure, know that you know that you know. And Simeon was a devout and a righteous man, and he knew that the Messiah was coming, and God had promised him. It was his hope. And he lived the entirety of his life with this hope that Jesus was coming. Hadn't seen him yet. I sometimes wonder what it was like in his life, because Simeon at this point in his life is an old man. He has lived. There's a lady that comes after him named Anna. Same thing. She's an old lady. Been in church their whole lives waiting for this to happen. And it hadn't happened. They've been waiting for the consolation of Israel, which means the Messiah. It's an Old Testament term talking about Jesus comes as the fulfillment of what they hope for. You see it in the lives of the disciples. You read through the Gospels and you'll see them say this to Jesus over and over and over again. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were looking for an earthly kingdom. Jesus was coming with a heavenly kingdom. This world is not my home. A heavenly kingdom Jesus was coming to build. But Simeon had lived his entire life waiting, anticipating that this was coming. He was waiting for the Messiah because he would give him comfort by his appearing. This term, again, it's an Old Testament term, but you need to understand his hope was needing an answer to a history of disappointment. A history of disappointment. Because in the entirety of his life, he has not yet seen the hope of Israel. He's not yet seen the Messiah. He's waiting. His hope, his trust, his faith is there, but the answer hasn't come. It's where we struggle. When our hope is, God, will the answer come? The promise of God's word is, yes, it will. Will it be answered here in this world or answered in the next? We have to come to a point of understanding, and we have to come to a point of acceptance that God is sovereign. You hear me? God is sovereign. It's His choice, not mine. It belongs to Him, doesn't belong to me, belongs to Him. And we have to be willing to say, God, I don't understand this, but I trust you. 1979, 1978, the year Amanda was born, my mother got sick with cancer. My family was of a generation that my parents didn't talk to the kids. Kids were, you know, seen but not heard. You with me on that? Yeah, be nice for this generation to be that way, but it's not, okay? That was our home. Kids were seen, they weren't heard, they didn't discuss these things, so I didn't know my mother was sick until it was almost over. And so she's in the hospital, and she's literally in her last month of life, and we prayed all the prayers. We anointed with oil, we did everything the Word of God said. We did everything. We prayed Everything. Everything the Word of God said to do, we did. And still, the end of January 1979, she passed away. And I'll never forget, 2 days, maybe 3 days later, I'm in my pastor's office. Now, I know you're all good Christians and you all love Jesus. Nobody's ever done anything like this, but I sat in my pastor's office and I banged my fist on his desk and I was mad at God. I was mad. You ever been mad at God? Aren't you glad God can take it? Aren't you glad he loves us enough to not, you're done, out, ground opened up, swallow them whole. Nope, doesn't do that anymore. We've been set free from the law, thank you, Jesus. But I'm pounding on my pastor's desk and I'm angry. I'm mad at God. I don't understand. I prayed the prayers, I anointed her though, did everything the Bible says to do, and still she died. And as I banged my fist on his desk and I cried out, I yelled at him, why? Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why. My pastor, one of the wisest things I've ever heard in my entire life, he said, Steve, you don't want to know why. All you want to do is argue with God's decision. And he was right. I didn't like what God chose to do. God chose to take my mother home. Now, heaven is our home. Why wouldn't I want my mom to be in heaven? No more fear, no more pain, no more cancer, no more sickness. Perfect. Why wouldn't I want her to be there? It was me. I was selfish. I wanted what I wanted. God sees big picture. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows it all. And we don't. We can't. Our minds are finite. We're unable to know those things. So what's my role? What's my choice? What am I to do in those moments? God, I understand, but I trust you. I trust you. You're my sovereign. I trust you. And you release that to the Lord. And you live in hope, knowing, and this is our great hope, that I will see her again someday. Because heaven is our home. This earth, temporary. It's but a breath. It's but a moment. I remember my dad saying towards the end of his life, he said, the days take forever, but the years flash by. Right? Seemed like a day lasts an eternity, but the years are just like, bang, like a picket fence, just fly, boom, 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 they're just flying by. This world is temporary. Our eternity is with him. Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But in my Father's house are many rooms, and I've got a special place just for you. Why would I want to deny anybody that? God, I trust you. I understand. Okay? I'm not telling you that I've got it all figured out, but I do know this. I can trust God because he's proven to me over and over and over again how much he loves me and how much he takes care of me. When it seems darkest, God shows up with something amazing. We've gone through a bit of a family struggle, some family issues that are going on with one of our parents, and it's just been a very, very difficult time. And I have a friend of mine that sent me a text this morning. Every Sunday, Steve sends me a text. Every Sunday, fail not, every Sunday, he sends me a text. And it's an encouraging note. It's a, you're going to preach this morning and be a man of God. It's just always just something really good. Said, I showed you on my phone. He sent me a text this morning. And we were going through this difficult. And it was one of those days. It was a Saturday. And it was just brutal. And it was just a difficult, difficult day. And out of the blue, here came my text from Steve on a Saturday instead of a Sunday. And it was a word of God, right? It was a word of God that we needed at that moment. God spoke to my heart and gave me the comfort that I needed. Didn't change the circumstance. You with me? Okay, the circumstance was the same, but the acknowledgement was, I'm listening. I know exactly where you're at. I know exactly what you're going through, and I'm going to take really good care of you. And we just sat there in our chairs and cried. This was a marvelous. And so I sent him a text. I said, why today? You've never sent. And he's been doing this for, boy, I don't know, 6, maybe 7 years. And he's never sent me a text on a Saturday. It's always on Sunday morning. And he said, I don't know. Just felt like the Lord spoke to me. Said, they need this today, not tomorrow. That's our sovereign. That's our Father. That's how much he loves. So the circumstances may not change, but the reality that God loves you and is watching out for you and has a great hope for you is the reality of his relationship with you and I. Simeon had waited years of disappointment. It hasn't happened yet, but knew that it was coming. The peace that passes understanding that Philippians talks about gives us the stability to wait in hope. They were wanting a Savior to free them. The Messiah had been prophesied, and the relationship with God, between God and Simeon, is coming to play. Now, look what happens. I love this verse. I love the way it's described. It says, now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, righteous and devout. We talked about that. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. We talked about that. Look what happens next. It says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this is pre-Acts chapter 2. But the Holy Spirit of God is still valid and real and still working. Go back to the Old Testament and you'll hear it over and over and over. The Spirit came upon him. Samson, the Spirit came upon him. Okay? So the Holy Spirit was on him. If the Holy Spirit can be on Simeon, guess what? He can be on us. Right? So the same power that's available to them is available to us. Romans chapter 8 talks about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. And will make our mortal bodies alive. King James says, will quicken your mortal body. I didn't understand that when I was a kid. And my dad was a preacher, he was my hero. I loved to listen to my dad preach. And so I asked him one day after he talked about this, I said, Dad, I don't understand. What does quicken mean? What does that mean, quicken? And he stopped and he thought a minute. He goes, take your fingernail. He goes, take your other fingernail. He goes, run that up under your fingernail and just give it a little push. He said, what do you feel? I said, oh, that hurts. He said, you know what they call that? They call that the quick. Lets you know you're alive. That's the quick. It's the quicken. It's what makes you alive. The Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal body, make alive your mortal body. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and I. The same hope is available to you and I. Yeah. That we can live in this, we can dwell in this. The Spirit was upon him, divinely inspired, overshadowed, protected by the power and the influence of the Most High God. Mary, talking to the angel, says, you can have a baby. Mary says, impossible. How? Can't be done. I love this term. I love this mental image. It says, you will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. To me, I get a picture of one of those giant golf umbrellas that kind of goes all the way over the top. Okay, I'm a big dude. I need a big umbrella. If you're going to keep the water off me, I want something big running over the top of me. That's the imagery that I get. I'm overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And you know what that means? Nothing can penetrate. Nothing else can come in. The influence of the Holy Spirit in my life and in my heart and in my mind, settling me down, knowing that God is in control of every aspect of my life. Even when it seems out of control, God is still in control. And I trust him, and I have faith in him. The Holy Spirit is upon us. Now, look what happens next. It says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Number two. Number one, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Number two, revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? We have an ongoing, living, lively relationship with the Spirit of God that will speak to you on a daily basis. Because God wants to influence your life and get you going the direction he wants you to go to do the things that he knows is best for you and I. Revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So if you're going to say, thus saith the Lord, if you're going to say, God told me this, it is only done when it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Revelation knowledge. Okay? It's not hoogly spoogly. It's not handwriting on the wall. It's not booming voices from heaven. Sometimes it's a quiet moment in the scriptures where God speaks to you. I read one yesterday in Deuteronomy about Benjamin. And it said that you are the precious possession and I dwell upon your shoulder. And I read that and I just spent a little bit of time with it and it just all of a sudden struck me. God wants an intimate connection and relationship with me. And he thinks I'm pretty special. Isn't that amazing? So it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. God thinks I'm pretty cool. Come on. Miranda, that's good. That's good. God thinks I'm all right. God thinks I'm worth something. And he has a plan and a purpose. That's the most amazing thing to me. Revealed by the Holy Spirit. Spend time in God's Word and let him reveal himself to you. Let him reveal his will and his understanding and his direction for you. what he has for you. And it's the same for everybody. No one has a greater arm in this than anybody else. We're all the same. So it doesn't matter whether you stand behind a pulpit or sit in the seat. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. God wants to reveal his word and his understanding to each one of us because we're all his kids. Good, good father. You with me? You with me? Simeon spent his entire life studying the scriptures. So he knew Amos 3:7, where it says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets." Imagine that. God does nothing upon this earth without revealing it to you and I. Isn't that amazing? Now, we don't get a big head by this, because it's not like, well, God can't do anything unless he has me. Pfft, come on. That's ridiculous, right? But the fact that God would choose you and I to be a part, my buddy Steve, when he sent me that text, he had no idea God was choosing him at that moment. I'm pretty confident in my conversation with him, we talked about this. He said, "I just had a notion. I just had a thought. Huh, I should send Steve a text today instead of tomorrow." That's no big revelation from heaven. That's no echoing voice. That's no handwriting on the wall. That's not some big dun-da-da-dun kind of moment. It's just a thought. Tim was praying, talking about our city. He said, if you see somebody in need, Matthew 25, Jesus said, sheep and goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. He looked at the sheep, says, "Guys, you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You came and visited me in prison. You ministered to me when I was sick." And the sheep looking at Jesus going, "I don't remember that. I think if I'd have bought the Lord a hamburger, I'd remember." Right? That would be a significant moment in my day that I gave Jesus a coat. I'd remember, right? But he said, when you did it to the least of these. What does that mean? It means as you live your day, as you live your life, you do good things. You see hungry people, you feed them. You don't think, I'm going to get a star in my crown in heaven because I'm going to buy this guy some chicken. It's not what it's about. You see somebody hungry, they need something to eat. Okay? That hurts my heart when I see people that are hungry. So let's give them something to eat. And you don't have a second thought about it. It just needs to be done. You just do, and then you move on. You see somebody cold, you help them out. You see somebody with a flat tire, you stop and help them. What are you doing? You're living the life Jesus said to live. You're being Jesus to these people. And you ask nothing in return. Just going to give, just going to share, just going to help. I was naked, you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. And the sheep are blown away. Had no idea. It just is a natural outpouring of your relationship with Jesus that you do good things for people. Amen. Right? Pastor Scott said, give a little bit more this morning. Just a natural outpouring. God has given you, give a little bit more. Bless. My brother said it. Brother Mark said it. You can't outgive God. It's not a competition either. And it's not a get rich scheme either. You're doing the right thing because God said, do the right thing. And God goes, I love when my kids do that. He just pours blessing out upon you. Isn't that awesome? Psalms 25:14. The Lord confides in those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. That's the relationship God wants. That's where our hope is built. That's where Simeon has been living these many years, knowing that he is God's prophet. Knowing that he is God's man and God has made his covenant known to him and it assured him, you're not going to die before you see the Messiah. Now look what happens. Number three, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was upon him, number one. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, number two, that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Look at number three. Moved by the Spirit, he went. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple. Now, Simeon went to the temple every day, but something was different this day because the Holy Spirit inspired him. Get there now. You need to go there now. Moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so involved in our day-to-day lives of knowing what it is God has for us and what the Lord wants for us and sees this hope that we live in and wants to bring this to pass in us. The Holy Spirit is involved. It's upon us. It's revealed to us, and now we're moved. The Holy Spirit knew his hope and led him to where his hope would be revealed. I got to think that there's just a modicum of excitement in the Lord that day. Today's the day. Today's the day. You get excited about those things. For kids, it's Christmas, right? Ha! Today's the day! Or birthday. We had a little girl in our church, she was turning 4. She was so excited to turn 4 because she said, when I'm 4, I get gum. She was thrilled and told us every time we're sorry, not that when I turn 4, I get gum. I turn 4. We're excited for that, knowing that something's coming. When I get 4, so when 4 came, today's the day. It's going to happen today. I get gum. I'm so excited. I know the Lord was looking at Simeon going, today's your day. You're going to see him. Today's the day. Messiah is going to be revealed to you. Today's your day. That's God. God's excited for us, and he loves us, and he's challenged about these things, and he gets so involved wanting to be a part of our lives. Guys, today's your day. Hope is going to be revealed. All is going to be answered. Your prayers are going to be answered. Your needs are going to be met. Today's your day. I love this about God, that today can be your day. Father, we acknowledge that this morning. Today can be our day. Whatever you believe in God for, whatever you hope you're living in, whatever faith you've stood in these many years, today could be your day. Belongs to God. Moved by the Spirit. Moved by the Spirit. Luke 2:27 says, just then when Joseph and Mary brought in the child, Jesus, to do what was custom and law required, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were moved as well. So Simeon is moving, Mary, Joseph are moving, fulfilling the law, and they're all coming together, and his hope is about to be revealed. Simeon came by direction of the Spirit into the temple. The same Spirit that had provided for the support of his hope now provided for the transport of his joy. Whew. Isn't that good? The same Spirit that had kept him alive in hope, knowing this was coming, is now transporting his joy to him. It was whispered in his ear, go to the temple now, and you'll see what you've longed to see. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is fully vested in your hope. The Holy Spirit is fully vested in your hope. He knows what you're waiting for. He knows what you're believing for. He still speaks to us today. He leads us today. He's not changed since Simeon's time. The Bible says about Jesus, the very first Bible memory verse ever in my life was Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's the same. He still draws men to Christ. He's still invested in your future. He has a great plan for you and will lead you into the reality of your hope, just like Simeon. And he still whispers in your ear, head to the temple today. He still whispers in your ear, open your Bible today. He still whispers in your ear, I have a great plan for you. I have a great vision for your life. 2019 was what it was. Saw great things. Had some victories. Had some defeats. I have 2 days to learn Spanish, clean out my closet, and lose 25 pounds. That's it. My 2 days. Get done. Right? Isn't that how we are? Come down to the end of the year. Not even close. Not even close. Here we go. All right? But 2020, it's brand new. We're going to start again. Don't you love that? It's a new day. I love this in Jesus because every day is a new day. That's right. I rise from my bed. Now, you believe God answers prayer? Amen. Do you really believe it? Yes. I believe God answers prayer. So I pray every morning. First thing, my eyes wake, my conscience comes to be, and the first thing out of my thought process, my mind is, Lord, today I want your will. Nothing more, nothing less. I want your will in my life. I believe that God hears me and answers me when I pray. Therefore, I believe where I stand at this moment is God's will. Because it's what I prayed for. It's all I want. God, your will. Nothing more, nothing less. And then just be. Do good things. Spend time in the Word. Love your family. Love people. Remember the 2 commandments? Love God. Love each other. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. If there was math involved, I would fail. Okay? God does. I went into the ministry because God saves people one by one by one. No math. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, verse number 9, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us, come on, by his Spirit. Revealed it to us. We can't conceive it in our minds. We can't imagine. God is so much bigger, so much better, so much greater than any of us can even think or dream. I want His imagination working. I want His creativity working. Human minds are so limited. When I think of the creativity of God, I think of the color green. Because you walk outside and you look at any patch of trees or grass. We drove in this morning. The hills are all turning green because of the rain. I love this time of year. Everything turns green. Highway 12 going up into Napa, it's all green and beautiful. But you look across that scope of green and there's 1,000 different shades of green. Now to you and I, we just say green. But God goes green. And it's amazing. So much bigger and better than we could ever dream or imagine. We would have it all one color. And I don't do colors very well. Peggy says I'm half color blind, half color stupid. Okay? I don't do colors very well. But God, amazing. Louis Giglio does this thing where he shows this, the Hubble telescope and the pictures they've taken, you know? It's just, why? God, nobody ever sees that. It's in the middle of nowhere, billions of years of light years away. And God goes, I'm just showing off. Bah, it's beautiful. It's amazing, isn't it? It's the creativity of our God. It's the power and the ability of our God that says, I want to take that power and pour it into you. I want to pour it into you. I want your life to be evidence of my creativity and what I can do. Hope. Simeon's hope came to be. And he took the baby in his arms and he said, okay, I'm done. Let your servant depart in peace, because it had been fulfilled. The consolation of Israel was there in his arms. Now, look what else he does. This is so good. Look what else he does. This is after he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now look, verse 31, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Simeon's a Jew. He's an Israelite. He's a Pharisee. He's a leader in the temple. And they're very, very focused on what's going to happen with Israel. And yet he says, your salvation has been prepared for all nations. Look what happens. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. Think about that. They're taught from childhood, you never mix. There's Jew and there's Gentile. And they don't come together. They don't eat together. They don't live together. They don't work together. It is completely and totally separate. The gospel has not been preached yet. God hasn't given Paul the assignment to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And yet here he is prophetically stating, once he sees Jesus, once he holds Messiah in his arms, he recognizes and knows this isn't just for us, but it's for all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. See? Moved by the Spirit, overshadowed by the Spirit, revealed by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking through him in the very last moments of his life. It's the last we hear of Simeon. But the last thing he says is, here it is. Here's the answer. Here's the hope for all mankind. Here's the hope for 2020. Here's the hope for our new year and where we're going. It's Jesus. Let our focus, let our drive, let our influence be all about our relationship with Jesus. Let us not strive to go one way or the other or someplace else. Let us stay with him. Just say, Father, where is it you would have me go? What is it you would have me do? God alone has the plan and the purpose for each one of us. History of disappointment to that moment of fulfillment. Allow the Holy Spirit to move you, to dwell in you, to speak to you, to reveal what God has for each one of us. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you this morning, Lord, as your word instructs us that we hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. This morning, Lord, we hold unswervingly to that hope.
that you give us in your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I know in this place are friends who are dealing with issues that I can't dream or imagine. But Lord, I know that your word promises that our hope is there in Jesus, and that you will bring the answer at the exact right moment, at the exact right time. So Father, I want to stand in faith this morning with those who are believing for an answer. Thank you, Jesus. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that's you this morning, you're living in hope, or you need your hope renewed and reestablished, just raise a hand up. Let me pray for you real quick, would you? Just raise a hand real high. You're living in that hope. You need Jesus to help reestablish that hope. See that hope fulfilled. I'll wait just a moment. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus, we worship you this morning. We honor and we love you this morning. Lord, we started our service by talking about how good you are, worshiping you in the goodness of God. Fathers, we come to this message. You've given us a great inspiration of hope. Lord, how the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives, speaking to us, overshadowing us, moving us. Lord, we're so grateful for that. And I pray this morning, Lord, for Sanctuary Church, that the hope of Jesus would continue to shine forth from these doors. Lord, that this place would continue to be a beacon of your hope. And Lord, for my friends in this room this morning, God, that each one would experience that great hope of knowing, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose and a creative idea for each and every one, and that you will bring the answer in the absolute perfect moment and the perfect time. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.